A black rectangle and two rails which look like sprocket holes join together to become the logo for New Line Cinema, a Turner company. Bursts of flame shoot out of the darkness. New Line Cinema presents a Threshold Entertainment production. From a ball of flame emerges the shape of a dragon with a long tongue, enclosed in a circle. Mortal Kombat. A temple complex which has tall buildings, each with a pointed spire. Two Chinese men stand on a raised flat stone surface between two of the buildings. One is young, the other older. The younger man leap kicks the older, who blocks his attack. The older man twists his opponent's arm and backhands him across the face twice. He kicks the youth, who falls. The older man in black raises the youth's arm.
Please.
He lets go of the arm and kicks the kneeling youth in the face. The youth lands on his front. The man stomps on his back. The man lifts the boy up by his hair and points.
Your brother's soul is mine. You will be next.
He lets the youth drop. The man's face morphs to a corpse's. A young Chinese man sits up in bed. He has shoulder-length black hair, a muscular torso, and is covered in sweat. He turns to sit on the edge of the bed and runs his fingers through his hair before standing up. Dressed only in shorts, he crosses to a cabinet and picks up a telegram addressed to Liu Kang. It reads, "Brother dead. Return home, grandfather." Liu lowers the telegram and gulps. Hong Kong. Police pass a bank of monitors.
60 seconds to target. Jax, is the perimeter secured?
Lockdown tight.
It better be. I want Kano.
Trust me, Sonya.
I trust one person on this planet, Jax. You're talking to her.
The armed police make their way into a crowded club and barge through the dancers. Above, behind a soundproof window, a man, Kano, is on the phone. He's tall, well-built, with short spiky hair and a metal patch over his right eye.
Good boy. She's here. Right on time.
Kano turns to the man behind him.
I love punctuality in a woman. Don't you, Mr. Shang Tsung?
Shang Tsung is the man who fought the youth.
Are you sure she's gonna follow me?
You killed her partner, didn't you? She'll follow you into hell. Just make sure she's on that book.
Sonya Blade must be at the turret.
Kano lifts a grating in the floor.
Maybe me and Sonya should share a cabin. Have our own little honeymoon cruise.
If you so much as touch her, Kano. You're going to need a seeing eye dog.
Kano's good eye twitches. The police swat their way through the crowd. Sonya, who's blonde with long hair, looks up and sees an armed guy descend towards her. They exchange fire, and he's blasted back through a window. Upstairs, she casts the flashlight attached to her pump-action shotgun around the room, then grabs the man she shot.
Where's Kano? Where is...
Los Angeles. Hangar doors slide open, revealing the silhouette of a man, his back to the palm trees outside. He walks into the building. Johnny Cage is tall and lean, with blonde hair and smartly dressed. He advances towards a line of men in suits. The men are reflected in Johnny's shades. The men in suits each carry a weapon, batons of different lengths. One has an electric current like a cattle prod. Johnny removes his shades.
Stance.
Two of the men attack. Johnny uses the cattle prod held by one to jab at the other. Johnny pummels, kicks and punches the men in suits until only one is left standing. Johnny punches the man repeatedly, then kicks him in the face, but he remains standing. Johnny bows his head and wearily looks at the man.
This is where you fall down.
The man throws himself theatrically to the floor.
Where do you get these guys?
It's a film set.
The press says, I don't know how to do this stuff.
Cut!
All right, people, reset. We're back in 15 minutes.
I'm not doing it again.
No, what do you mean you're not doing it again?
I mean, I'm not doing
Johnny,
it again.
Johnny, it's the last shot of the picture. Where are you going?
I'm going to my trailer.
No, you can't leave
I'm
going
to get a gun. Then I'm going to shoot myself for being in your
kill
movie.
Kill me. You people kill me. I'll be back directing traffic. Johnny, don't leave me hanging up here.
You're killing me, Johnny. I love you. I need you. Don't leave
Johnny,
me here.
Excuse me, Johnny. There's someone over there who wants to speak to you.
Who is it?
I don't really know.
You let somebody on the set, you don't know who it is?
No, of course not.
It better not be a reporter.
Oh, God, no. You want me to find out?
A grey-haired man is sitting on a canvas chair with the name Johnny Cage on its back.
Hey, mister, you're in my chair.
The man is reading The Examiner. Its headline, Johnny Cage, a fake.
Hi, Johnny.
Master Boyd,
I see the press is still giving you a hard time.
Yeah, they think I'm a fake.
Johnny, you're one of the best martial artists in the world, and I can help you prove it.
Prove it? How?
A tournament. The tournament. It's held once a generation. The best fighters in the world are invited. You win the tournament, you win their respect. They'll tell the entire world that you're the real goods.
So, how do I,
There's a boat. It leaves Pier 40. Hong Kong, tomorrow. Be on it.
Johnny looks at the scroll Boyd handed him and turns it round in his hands. Boyd walks through the studio away from Johnny. He morphs into Shang Tsung. A river in front of a group of buildings, the Temple of Light, China. A long narrow boat with a canopy pulls into the riverside by the temple. The young Chinese man Liu Kang sits at the prow of the boat. Liu rises, puts a bag over his shoulder, and steps onto the riverbank. He climbs up a set of stone steps towards the temple. Three people in red robes stand either side of an entrance. Liu strides past and up another set of steps to a raised circular lawn, on which a number of red-robed people are gathered. Beneath the robes are white tunics. An older man comes towards Liu, his arms open wide. The two men hug. Liu walks to where his brother fought Shang Tsung. The old man is with him.
Is this the place?
Yes. This is where we found his body.
What happened?
After you left for America, he followed in your footsteps, preparing for the tournament.
Grandfather, it wasn't enough you filled my head with that nonsense.
To save the world is not nonsense.
Men fighting in a simple contest don't decide these things, Grandfather. How can you, a wise man, believe this?
We all believe in it, including your brother.
Liu glances up at the sound of the bell. Children in robes sprint upstairs and between two rows of adults assembled in a courtyard.
Liu Kang has been given the dream. He is the chosen one.
No, he left our temple. Turn his back on us. Why have you come back?
I want to represent the Order of Light at the tournament.
For what reason?
The man who killed my brother will be there.
That cannot be your only reason for going, or you will fail.
Oh, yes. I forgot. We're fighting for the fate of the world.
That's why you left the temple and ran away, isn't it?
Everyone turns as a man in a grey robe and wearing a conical straw hat enters the assembly, his head lowered. The monks bow before him.
The great tournament was too much responsibility, but vengeance, that's so much simpler.
Lord Raiden.
Lou's grandfather prostrates himself.
Still running away from your destiny.
Monks sneak a look at the white-haired man.
Raiden? Grandfather, get up! This isn't your god of thunder and lightning. He's just a beggar.
Spare him, my Lord Raiden. American life has enfeebled his mind. Too much television.
So you're going to win the tournament?
Yes, I am.
Show me how.
His grandfather holds Lou back.
Don't tell me you're afraid of a simple beggar.
Lou lunges, and Raiden flips him over onto his back. He lands heavily on the brick path. Lou picks himself up.
If you are Raiden, why did you let Chan die? Why didn't you protect him?
Why didn't you?
I've had enough of this. I'm going to find my brother's killer at the tournament. With or without your consent.
Monks look at each other in consternation as Lou marches out. His grandfather turns to Raiden.
He isn't ready, my lord. And we've lost so much time.
I know. But there's no one else.
Lou strides purposefully away from the temple. It's night. A limousine stops on a jetty. Chai Wan Bay, Hong Kong. Johnny Cage dumps his luggage on the ground and the car moves off. He sees a guy reading a magazine.
Give me a break.
Hey.
It shows a Chinese version of the Johnny is a fake headline.
Look, don't let him get to you.
Yeah, sure. You're Arlene, aren't you? Man, I saw you fight in London. You were great.
Thanks. I saw a couple of your films. Listen, you can't fake those moves.
Yeah, well, tell that to the press.
Art is black in his mid-20s. Lou strides along the waterfront.
Pal, when the ship comes in, could you put these on board?
You want me to carry your luggage?
Yeah, I pay money, you carry the bags. Or is that too complicated?
No. I got it.
Good.
Lou grabs the money, picks up a case, and drops it in the water. Lou grins, pockets the money, and walks away. Johnny turns to see his case sinking.
Thank God I didn't ask him to park the car.
Sonya watches through infrared night sights.
Nothing says that creep at the club wasn't lying his ass off. Kano could be 1,000 miles from here by now.
Suddenly, a large, old, dragon-shaped sailing ship approaches the dock.
What is that?
It sails out of a cloud of white smoke. Johnny turns to Art.
You gotta be kidding me.
A gangway is lowered from the ship to the jetty, landing in front of Johnny, Art, and a group of men. As the passengers board, Sonya spots Kano in the shadows.
Hold on!
Listen, baby. Come to Papa.
Kano emerges from a doorway, passes some dock workers, and walks up the gangway. Sonya runs towards the ship.
Sonya! Don't get on that thing! Hey, Sonya!
The ship's already moving off as Sonya sprints along the jetty and disappears from her partner's sight. On board, Lou wanders across the deck and stands at the side rail. Johnny, his arms full of bags, sees Lou and makes straight for him. But he's knocked over by Sonya running on board.
Hey, you.
All right, tough guy, you wanna get...
Off?
No, do you?
Hi. Johnny Cage, you are?
Where's Kano?
I don't know who you're talking about, but I'm sure I can help you find him.
Out of my way.
Sonya leaves. Lou grins.
Another starstruck fan, huh?
Sonya goes down into the ship's hold. Gun raised, she kicks open a door and enters a room full of pipes and hanging chains. Shang Tsung steps out of the darkness.
It's an honor to finally meet you, Sonya. Shang Tsung, at your service.
He bows his head.
I'm looking for a murderer. He boarded this ship.
I'm impressed. But it is my boat, and if you'd like a tour, I'd love to give it to you myself.
Hey, be nice to the lady. She's just doing her job.
When I want backup, I'll radio for it.
Lou and Johnny stand beside Sonya. A man enters wearing a blue tunic and a metal ninja-style mask over his mouth.
Got that radio handy?
Another man in yellow enters, also wearing a mask.
Scorpion and Sub-Zero. Deadliest of enemies. But slaves under my power.
Sonya raises her gun.
Move aside.
Sub-Zero grabs the barrel. It turns to ice and breaks off in his hand. Now, a drill-like cone emerges from Scorpion's hand. It forms into the beak of a metallic serpent. Suddenly, bolts of electricity pin these warriors against the wall. Raiden appears in a blaze of red light.
Enough!
Lord Raiden, how good of you to grace us with your presence.
Your sideshow freaks attack my fighters. That is expressly forbidden before the tournament, as your emperor well knows.
My sincere apologies. Won't happen again, I promise you.
I shall see to that.
Of course. Until we reach the island where you have no dominion.
My dominions are well known to me, sorcerer. Thank you.
What tournament?
You've been chosen, Sonya. Much to my delight.
Shang Tsung walks out. Lu turns to Raiden.
You really are Raiden.
Come with me.
Raiden disappears in a ball of electricity that zooms back up the stairs. On deck...
Got a guy with things coming out of his hand. We got another guy who freezes stuff. And then there's a man who, as far as I can tell, is made out of electricity. I mean, how did he disappear like that? What is going on here? Who is this guy?
Let's just think this through. There is a rational explanation for this.
He's Raiden, god of lightning and protector of the realm of Earth.
Oh, great.
Oh, there's your rational explanation.
Listen.
Raiden is sitting behind them.
What you're about to face is vastly more important than your ego, your enemy, or your quest for revenge. You have embarked on a sacred mission. You have been chosen to defend the realm of Earth. In a tournament called Mortal Kombat.
Defended from who?
Your world is but one of many realms. One of them is a forsaken land called Outworld, ruled by an immortal who has crowned himself emperor. Now he seeks a new world to conquer and enslave.
Oh, wait a second. If this guy is so powerful, then why doesn't he just invade us?
To enter the realm of Earth. The Emperor's demon sorcerer, Shang Tsung, and his warriors have to win 10 straight victories in Mortal Kombat. They have won 9. This will be the 10th tournament.
A handful of people on a leaky boat are gonna save the world.
Exactly. The essence of Mortal Kombat is not about death, but life. Mortal men and women defending your own world.
Why are you telling us all this? What about the others?
They are all great fighters. But I have looked into their souls. And yours. One of you three will decide the outcome of the tournament. The fate of billions will depend upon you.
What about Shang Tsung?
Oh, still concerned only with vengeance? If you challenge Shang Tsung now, you will lose your life and your soul.
He is gonna pay for my brother's death.
You're not ready.
Look. It has begun.
A giant glowing skull descends from the sky, jaws open wide. Shang Tsung stands on the prow of the ship, surrounded by swirls of mist.
It has begun!
Shang Tsung raises up his arms. There is a wall of red mist, and suddenly the ship is approaching an island in the morning light. The rays of the sun pick out a series of tall, rocky spires. A party of small dragon boats containing the warriors are rowed into shore. Sonya picks up her two-way radio.
Blackhawk to Cardinal. Blackhawk calling Cardinal. Is anybody monitoring?
She taps the radio in frustration.
Jax, this is Sonya. Do you copy?
While you're at it, why don't you call my agent?
Do I look like your secretary?
The boats reach a secluded cove. The warriors jump into the water and wade to the shore. They proceed down the beach along an avenue of red banners stuck in the sand. Johnny tries to heave his vast amount of suitcases out of the boat and falls face down in the water. Sonya flings her radio on the ground.
What are you doing?
That electrical disturbance last night must have blown out the transistors.
Your radio equipment's fine. Look at your compass.
Sonya looks at the compass on her watch. The needle is spinning in all directions. Johnny walks up carrying his bags.
Where the hell are we?
Do I look like your travel agent?
Fine.
Okay. I give up. What's going on?
I don't know. But what if all the legends were true?
What legends?
Towering over the beach is a high mountain, its peak hidden in the clouds above. A stone staircase lined with the statues of warriors leads up the mountain. Johnny drops his bags, and they tumble downwards.
Need help with those?
The steps take them to a cave entrance above cloud level.
No more steps.
They look into a vast hall full of stalagmites and torches.
Oh, great! Can't wait to see what the bathrooms look like.
Sonya shakes her head. The statues of warriors tower over them, some wearing horned helmets, others the armor of Roman centurions. Lou walks up to the curved skeleton of a reptile creature. Nearby, a beautiful brunette is sitting under a large red umbrella. She has dark brown eyes that watch Lou carefully.
You know, when a woman looks at you like that, it usually means something.
The woman doesn't move, so Lou, Johnny, and Sonya walk on. Shang Tsung is not far behind them. He stops and turns to the woman.
Princess Kitano. She's our most dangerous adversary. Watch her carefully, reptile. Keep her away from these humans.
The reptile skeleton comes to life. It develops yellow and green skin and gnashes its long, sharp teeth. It leaps from its pedestal and, chameleon-like, adopts the color of the surrounding rocks. Meanwhile, the doors open on a vast dining hall. The warriors are sitting at large candle-lit tables. Hooded figures bring in dishes laden with food. Art sits down at the same table as Lou, Johnny, and Sonya. Lou notices Princess Kitana watching him from another table. She looks over at the entrance, and Lou follows her gaze. He sees Raiden standing in the doorway, just before the huge stone panels close shut. Now, a procession of guards enters the room on a level above the diners. They are bare-chested and wear red balaclavas. Shang Tsung is amongst them.
Welcome. You're here to compete in mortal combat. Tomorrow morning, the great combat begins. Some of you will even have the distinct honor and pleasure to face Prince Goro, our reigning champion. You are all witnesses to one of the greatest turning points in the history of your planet. Treasure these moments as if they were your last. And now for a taste of things to come.
He nods to the guards, and they start to pour down into the dining hall. They pull the guests from their places and throw back the tables. Sub-Zero walks into the space they've made and performs some practice moves. Then, one of the guards steps forward to face him. The guard stretches his rippling muscles. The guard shows off a series of menacing kicks and punches. Then he runs towards Sub-Zero. A vortex of blue particles streams from Sub-Zero's hand and hits the guard in mid-air. The guard instantly turns to ice and smashes on the floor, his head rolling up to Shang Tsung's feet.
Flawless victory.
Shang Tsung walks away. Johnny turns to Art and the others.
Come to a little tournament, he said. Be good for the career, he said. Yeah, right.
Lou. Hey, where are you going?
After Shang Tsung.
You can't go after him. Don't you remember what Raiden said?
Yeah, well, he didn't say anything to me. Shang Tsung knows where Kano's hiding.
Sonya walks off.
You know, you gotta admire her. When she sets her mind on something...
It's not her mind you're admiring.
True.
Johnny follows Lou out of the hall. Watching them through an iron gate is a giant humanoid creature. Shang Tsung walks along a corridor lit by torches. Sonya follows at a distance. Lou and Johnny catch up with Sonya.
How many times do I have to tell you? I don't need your help. I can take care of myself.
We can't help it. It's a guy thing.
Hey, where are you going?
I'm following him.
I work alone.
No, Shang Tsung is mine.
Look, why don't we just forget about Shang Tsung?
What do you mean, forget about him? Did you see what happened back there? I want to get to the bottom of this.
Are you out of your mind?
Bats flutter overhead as they stand on a thin rock bridge spanning a deep chasm. Suddenly, the shadow of a four-armed monster flits across the rocks in front of them.
Sonya, you go ahead. Find out what that was. Lou and I will wait right here.
What?
Kano sits eating in a hall full of candles.
See, me, I believe in a fair fight. You know, one-on-one, man-to-man, hand-to-hand. Just like my daddy taught me. But what I saw up there was not very fair.
That's Kano.
Forget about Kano.
Where was I?
The other guy.
Yeah, so then he freezes this guy, right? And then he explodes. I could see his guts and everything. Almost lost my lunch.
Disgusting.
What I want to know, if this Shang Tsung guy is so great, how come he's got such a crummy-looking boat, Yeah. Anyway, guy gives me the creeps. A treasure are these moments.
Kano's with the four-armed giant.
That was his intention. Shang Tsung is a great sorcerer. The wise cultivate his favor. Those who challenge his power become his slaves.
Yeah? Well, I haven't seen any of them around.
You fool. You know nothing. He enslaves souls. He learned the black arts from the Emperor himself.
Mm. You're some kind of royalty too. Right.
I am Goro, General of the Armies of Outworld and Prince of the Subterranean Realm of Shokan.
Subterranean? What's that? Something like underground?
Yes, something like that.
Yeah? Well, I'm kind of an underworld boss myself, you know. Well, I mean, back home.
How lucky for them, back home.
Shang Tsung appears.
It's true.
Hmm?
Prince Goro. Hmm. Why else would I have chosen such a disreputable-looking creep? Look at him. No dignity, no manners. Yet in the realm of Earth, men like him can amass great wealth and almost godlike power.
Yeah, and I'd like to get back to my amassing as soon as possible, if you don't mind. Now, when do I get paid?
After you fought the girl. But remember, she's not to be harmed, only humiliated. I have plans for my beautiful Sonya.
Sonya, Lu, and Johnny watch the scene from above.
What do we owe the honor of your visit, Shang Tsung?
I've come to warn you that Gong Lao's descendant is competing in the tournament. You must handle him carefully.
I saw this Liu Kang in the hall. He'll pose no problem.
This is no time for foolish pride. We've never been so close to absolute victory, which is why I've come to warn you of another danger. Princess Kitana.
The Emperor's adopted daughter? Why should I worry about her?
Princess Kitana is 10,000 years old and the rightful heir to the throne of Outworld. But she must not be allowed to join with the forces from the realm of Earth, especially Liu Kang.
Up above.
What's so special about you? I don't know.
The Emperor will not tolerate failure. And neither will I.
I do not fail!
Let's get out of here.
What? What is it?
We are not alone.
Shang Tsung signals, and a guard pursues Liu and the others, who find themselves in a cavern leading to a tunnel.
Wait a second, I don't remember this.
The passageway in front of them is filled with an eerie blue light.
Look!
Kitana appears at the end of the passage.
It has to be Princess Kitana. I think she's trying to help us.
I think you're hard up for a date.
Come on, she's trying to lead us out.
Oh, would you forget about her? She's 10,000 years old.
So what?
Liu. Liu! Liu!
Liu heads off down the tunnel. He finds himself in a cavern lit by blue light, full of spines of rock that twist round like the roots of a tree. Liu looks round sharply but sees no one. He crosses towards the sound. The air seems to become solid, and Reptile becomes visible under his camouflage. Reptile spits in Liu's face and runs off. Liu frantically scrapes the saliva from his eyes.
Liu, what happened? There's something here. I think it's following Princess Kitana.
Where is she?
I don't know.
They make their way through a corridor covered in cobwebs.
Do you know where we're going?
I know exactly where we're going. Kitana went this way. I can smell a perfume.
I don't smell anything.
They emerge into the hall where they saw Kano and Goro.
I smell something. Bullshit.
Johnny pulls a face behind her back. They wander through the hall. Suddenly, three guards run down the steps towards them.
Next, you're right.
We got
got company.
More guards appear and battle commences. Three guards leap over Johnny's head. Meanwhile, Sonya and Lou make short work of their opponents. Lou runs up the wall, swings back, and delivers a vicious kick to a guard's head. Sonya kicks her opponent onto the dining table. Lou kicks two men down at the same time, while Johnny runs the last adversary across the floor and into Sonya's outstretched arm.
Just the way I like him. Dumb and ugly.
Piece of cake.
Piece of cake, huh?
Well, it was easy for me.
Oh, get over yourself.
Now, what is it with you guys? We're standing, they're not. What more do you want?
It's Raiden.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So why don't you show me what you plan to do about them?
They turn and see a whole army of guards behind them. The guards move forward. Electricity pours from Raiden's finger.
I don't think so.
Raiden's eyes crackle with energy, and the guards retreat.
I think you'll find that this is the way out.
Raiden leads Lou and the others through the guards and out of the room. Johnny throws a staff for one of the guards to catch.
You guys are lucky you stopped us.
Outside, beside the statue standing by the entrance to the caves.
So now you've seen what you'll be facing in the tournament.
You mean Goro?
And Shang Tsung.
Will Shang Tsung fight in the tournament?
If he chooses to. As a former champion, he has the right to do so. And he's far more dangerous than Goro. His power comes from the souls of vanquished warriors. To fight Shang Tsung is to face not one, but a legion of adversaries. Remember that. Tomorrow the tournament begins. Be prepared.
The morning light falls on a small fighting ring set up among the palm trees. Shang Tsung watches as Lu faces another fighter.
From this moment on, my island will be your battleground. Liu Kang, you will be first. Let mortal combat begin!
Both Liu and his opponent, a tall black man with dreadlocks, carry long wooden staffs. They plant their staffs in the earth.
Come on! Yeah!
They show off some practice moves, then circle round each other. The black man leaps forward, and they grab their staffs. Lu lands a well-aimed kick to the head, but his opponent knocks his staff into Lu's stomach. Lu somersaults over, kicking the side of his enemy's head mid-flight. The man falls to the floor. Shang Tsung scowls. But Lu's opponent soon recovers and breaks Lu's staff in two with a flying kick. Yeah! Liu leaps into the air and kicks both feet into the man's ribs. The impact throws both men back on the floor, but Liu springs up while his adversary lies sprawled across the ring. Liu stares defiantly at Shang Tsung. Shang Tsung stands over the fallen man.
Your soul is mine.
Shang Tsung holds his hand over the man's chest. A blue mist pours from the man's belly and into Shang Tsung's outstretched palm. The fighter's body arches and turns red for a moment, then slumps back on the floor.
Fatality.
Shang Tsung smiles at the pale corpse beneath him. Later, Sonya practices her moves at the ringside, dressed in black t-shirt and shorts.
Sonya Blade.
I have something for you, my dear.
I don't want anything from you.
On the contrary, I have something you want very much. You can thank me later.
Shang Tsung makes a signal. Sonya watches as Kano emerges from the gateway to the arena. He blows a kiss at Sonya.
Hello, baby. Did you miss me?
Kano saunters past two stone lions and enters the ring. Sonya comes forward to meet him. Kano draws a large hunting knife from his belt.
Ooh, now look at this. This little baby brings back memories now, doesn't it?
What, you used it to knife your mother in the back?
Nah. It put a big smile on your partner, though. Ear. To ear.
He swings it at her face.
Give it up, baby. I've studied all your moves.
Yeah, study this!
She boots him in the chest, then hooks him in the jaw. Shang Tsung smiles as Sonya gets the better of Kano, but now Kano swipes her across the face. Sonya recovers and roundhouse kicks him. Kano throws Sonya to the floor and tries to stamp on her, but she rolls out of the way. He twists round and boots her in the stomach.
Does it hurt, baby?
Kano spits and goes in for the killer blow, but Sonya does a handstand and locks her legs around his neck. Shang Tsung smiles.
Yes.
Sonya twists and brings Kano crashing to the ground.
Right, finish him.
No, Sonya, don't. Oh, give me a break.
Okay.
She twists her legs and breaks his neck. His head flops back on the ground. Johnny is walking through a forest of tall, slender trees. Suddenly, he spots Scorpion standing a short distance away from him. Scorpion takes up a fighting pose. Johnny, too, prepares for combat. The metallic serpent's head emerges from Scorpion's palm.
Get over here!
The serpent shoots out from Scorpion's hand, its long body flying through the trees, then looping back to attack Johnny. The serpent chases Johnny through the forest. He rolls on the ground, and the creature gets caught round a tree, its mouth inches from his face.
Come here!
Scorpion jerks back his arm, and the serpent disappears. Suddenly, Scorpion somersaults into view. Again, he flicks the serpent towards Johnny. Johnny dodges just in time, and the creature barrels into a tree trunk. The head breaks off, and Scorpion retracts the rest of its body. Johnny aims a flying kick at Scorpion's head, but both men disappear, and Johnny crashes to the floor in a hall lit by red light. Skeleton bones litter the floor. There is a body laid out on a bier next to him. The room is full, floor to ceiling, with a web of poles, rigging, and rope ladders. Johnny looks around warily, unaware that Scorpion is right behind him.
Well gone!
Scorpion punches Johnny and battle commences. Scorpion smacks Johnny down into the rigging, but Johnny springs back up before Scorpion can deliver a lethal kick. The two fight on a raised platform. Johnny swings round a pole and kicks Scorpion back. Johnny forces Scorpion to the edge of the platform, but Scorpion catches Johnny's arm, locks it, and punches him back. Scorpion trips Johnny, who falls back onto the wooden boards. Kick after kick rains down on Johnny. Johnny springs up between Scorpion's legs, flinging Scorpion into the air. Scorpion somersaults backwards and crashes to the floor. He gets up and resumes combat. Scorpion's heavy punches knock Johnny back. Johnny catches hold of Scorpion's leg and flips him into the air, but Scorpion somersaults and kicks Johnny with both feet. Johnny leaps and catches hold of a bar. He swings back and kicks Scorpion in the face. Like a gymnast, Johnny swings 360 degrees around the bar and throws himself up onto a higher platform.
Get down here!
Scorpion kicks the platform's wooden support, and the whole structure tumbles downwards. Johnny hits the floor and a cloud of debris rains down on top of him. There's a skeleton's hand on his chest. Johnny is surrounded by skulls and human bones. Scorpion leaps down from above. Scorpion tears at his cheek and his face peels away to reveal a grinning skull. Suddenly, the skull's eyes glow red. Johnny looks round desperately and finds a metal shield. Flame pours from Scorpion's mouth and hits the shield. Johnny reaches for a spear on the ground and hurls it at Scorpion. It hits Scorpion's arm, which bursts into flame. Johnny takes a flying leap at his opponent and swipes the metal shield across Scorpion's chest. Blood and fire oozes from the wound. Now Johnny scythes Scorpion's head in two. The skull's head explodes. Johnny runs for cover as Scorpion's whole body blows apart. A signed photo of Johnny lands on the burning corpse. It reads, "To my biggest fan." Meanwhile, on the shore of the island, Lu walks into a circle of fluttering red banners stuck into the sand. Shang Tsung is waiting under a crimson canopy. Shang Tsung points along the beach, and Lu sees that Kitana is approaching. She is wearing a figure-hugging black costume and leather gloves. She enters the circle, and she and Lu perform practice moves. A giant rock rises out of the ocean in front of them.
Begin!
The two fighters spar with each other. Kitana grabs Lu's neck and forces him to his knees.
If you won't fight with all of your heart, there is no hope.
Why do you care if I win or lose?
Lu grabs her arm and rolls her away from him. They rejoin battle. But once again, Kitana bests him and holds him to the floor.
To win your next match, use the element which brings life.
What?
Kitana!
Lou springs up and hurls Kitana onto the sand. She tries to elbow him, but he grips both her arms.
Remember my words.
Kitana! That's enough!
You disappoint me. Not very wise.
That night, torches made of big cat skulls are burning in a hall. Gargoyle statues look down on a hooded water carrier. The man lays down the buckets hanging from a pole on his shoulder and scoops up some water with a ladle. It's Raiden. Another hooded figure enters, followed by Lou. By the time they reach the center of the hall, Raiden has disappeared. The figure indicates that Lou should stay put while he melts away into the shadows. Now, Sub-Zero descends the steps into the hall and stands beside Lou. They adopt a fighting pose and battle begins. Sub-Zero flips over backwards, whacking Lou's chin with his feet. Sub-Zero somersaults onto a step above Lou, but Lou jumps up and knocks him backwards. Sub-Zero knocks a candelabra to the floor, retreats from Lou, then runs up a wall and flips back into a fighting position. Lou kicks Sub-Zero and sends him tumbling down a slope. A last kick seems to send Sub-Zero sprawling. But Sub-Zero looks round defiantly. He draws his arms closer to his body, and a vortex of blue light emanates from the jewel in his belt. He is covered by a dome of energy that hits Lou's left arm. Lou starts back, spilling a bucket of water. Lou desperately tries to flex his arm. He sees Kitana watching him from across the hall.
Use the element which brings life.
Lou looks at the buckets of water and sees that the water he spilled is turning to ice. He grabs the other bucket Raiden left behind, swings it round his head, and hurls it at Sub-Zero. The water hits the energy field and freezes into a huge icicle that impales Sub-Zero in the chest. Sub-Zero's whole body turns to ice. The rosy light of dawn glimmers over the rocky crags dominating the island. Shang Tsung goes into a large hall lit by hundreds of candles. Goro sits on a throne at the far end.
Is it time?
Yes. We've let these humans win enough.
A baying mob watches as Goro knocks human after human to the ground. They fall back in agony on the hard pebble floor. In the main hall, Shang Tsung watches as Art, dressed in white robes, goes through his paces. Shang Tsung makes a signal, and the doors slide open to reveal Goro. The crowd turns to watch the terrifying creature, its four arms held aloft. One long ponytail of hair flows from the crown of its head. It towers over Art.
What the...
Johnny watches from the sidelines as Art punches Goro.
Yeah, that's
come
it!
Come on, Art!
In and out!
Goro thumps Art into the crowd and raises his arms in triumph. Lou's watching with Sonya. Goro lands another punch on Art and sends him reeling. But Art squirms away from Goro across the floor. Finally, Art gets to his feet and tries a flying kick. Art suffers a punishing set of blows to the face. Art flops onto the floor. Art stumbles to his feet and gets punched again. Goro lifts Art off his feet and looks round at Shang Tsung.
Finish him!
Time to die!
Finish him!
Art falls to the ground and lies still. Sonya sees Art's body. Goro kneels, takes the body in his arms, and raises it over his head.
Flawless victory. Your soul is mine.
Shang Tsung raises his finger, and Art's body glows red. The wispy white form of his soul is sucked into Shang Tsung's eye. Raiden meets Lou, Sonya, and Johnny by the entrance of the tournament caves.
We can't win now. How could we possibly beat something like that?
Good question. Goro can be killed. Shang Tsung's power can be destroyed by mortal men and women. You can overcome any adversary, no matter how bizarre their powers may seem. There is always a way. Only one thing can defeat you. Your own fear.
So who says we're afraid?
You must first face your fears, if you are to conquer them. You, Johnny, are afraid you're fake. So you'll rush into any fight just to prove you're not. You'll fight. Bravely enough. But foolishly. Carelessly. And you'll be beaten. You, Sonya, are afraid to admit even you sometimes need help. If you are afraid to trust, you will lose.
Raiden walks away from them.
Wait. Wait. What about me?
Oh, you. You fear your own destiny. You already fled it once when you went to America. It has brought you guilt for the death of your brother.
I am responsible for Chen's death.
No. Every mortal is responsible for his own destiny. Chen believed this. Why can't you?
I tried.
Despair is the most dangerous fear of all. I know this. And so does Shang Tsung. He can peer into your soul and use the fear he sees there against you. You must be prepared.
The sun rises. He dreams of Shang Tsung taking his brother's soul at the temple.
You will be next.
Liu wakes with a start. Further along the beach, Sonya's standing with Johnny.
Goro's never been beaten. You go up against him, he'll kill you.
Well, if I don't, then he'll finish us off one at a time. If I challenge him now, I can finish this.
You're making this all sound really simple, and it isn't.
Yeah, it is. Because I can't let what happened to Art happen to you. Not to you.
Oh, don't you dare do this to protect me, Johnny Cage.
Trust me. I got a plan.
Oh, I can't believe this. You are the most egotistical, self-deluded person I have ever met.
Yeah, well, you forgot good looking.
He walks away from her and Sonya sighs. In the hall, Johnny confronts Shang Tsung.
Challenging Goro, eh? You weren't supposed to fight him now. Are you that eager to die?
I'm not the one who's gonna die.
I see. You're very foolish. The true sign of a hero. You want to protect your friends, but make no mistake. They too will die after Goro destroys you.
So what's the problem?
As you wish. As absurd as your request is, I shall grant it. In return, I reserve the right to challenge the winner myself, or another of my choosing, in a place designated by me for the final battle of the tournament.
You got it, pal.
I don't think so.
Too late, Lord Raiden. The rules are quite clear. It's how do you say? A deal's a deal.
Shang Tsung leaves the two of them alone.
What have you done?
I made a choice. This is our tournament, remember? Mortal Kombat. We fight it.
Johnny strides away, but Raiden smiles to himself.
Good. At last, one of them is understood.
Goro pushes through the cheering crowds. Raiden watches as the brute creature steps into the ring formed by the baying crowd. Liu and Sonya exchange anxious glances. Johnny enters the ring wearing his sunglasses. Johnny takes off his shades. Goro grabs them and crushes them in his fist. Goro looks round at Shang Tsung.
Finish him quickly. Pay me my tribute.
This puny mortal will be no problem. I'll crush him in one blow.
All right. Let's dance.
Johnny punches Goro in the groin. Raiden punches a man's arm with glee.
Sorry.
Johnny runs up some steps. Shang Tsung turns to Goro.
You imbecile!
Johnny rubs his arm.
Damn! That hurt!
Follow him!
Finish him!
Johnny clambers up to a higher level and runs through a crevice in the rock. Goro climbs after him. Whoa! Johnny emerges from a cave and finds himself on the side of a high mountain with sheer rock walls. Johnny hides beside the cave mouth as Goro comes forward.
Those were $500 sunglasses, asshole.
Johnny kicks Goro in the face, sending him sprawling near the edge of the cliff. Johnny lashes out again, and Goro plunges downwards. But when Johnny peeks over the rim, Goro's clinging onto the rock.
This is where you fall down.
Goro loses his grip and falls hundreds of feet, disappearing in a flash of lightning. Shang Tsung drags Sonya up some steps.
No! No! Let me go!
Lu appears.
Stop!
I hereby exercise my right to challenge. I challenge...
You're a coward, sorcerer. Stand and fight.
We had a deal, remember? Mortal combat continues. I'm simply changing the place.
A portal opens behind him.
As we agreed.
Sonya!
No! No!
Sonya disappears in a ball of blue light.
Where's he taking her?
To the Empress Castle. In the wastelands of Outworld where I cannot follow.
We can. Raiden. Can Sonya beat Shang Tsung?
No. I'm sorry.
You're sorry?
There is one last rule. He neglected to mention it.
She has to accept the challenge, or there can be no final combat.
I have nothing further to teach you, Liu Kang. You possess the knowledge. All that is lacking now is the will.
You sure you don't want to go with us?
In Outworld, if you look hard enough, you will find another guide.
Behind them, Reptile is eavesdropping. He runs off into the shadows. Lu and Johnny go up to the portal.
Good luck!
Lu and Johnny step through and disappear in a whirl of blue light.
They'll need it.
Lu and Johnny emerge in a different realm.
This is not good.
But I'm fine.
I can deal with this.
It's night, and burning torches litter the ground.
So, this is Outworld, huh? Well, I can see why they want to change the scenery.
We should head for that tower. Shang Tsung would have taken Sonya there.
They pass statues of contorted bodies and huge grotesque faces. There is a gigantic tower of flint rock. Gargoyles stare down, fragile human figures trapped in their rib cages.
Lu, I hate this place. I do. I'm telling you, I hate it. I'm in a hostile environment. I am completely unprepared. I'm surrounded by people who probably want to kick my ass. It's like being back in high school.
A figure scurries past behind them.
Wait. What? There's something else. Oh, great.
Lu walks over to a brick wall.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
He grabs at thin air, and suddenly a creature appears in his arms. It's the camouflage reptile. Lu flings the creature into a gargoyle's open chest, and it becomes caught in the gizzards. The gargoyle's organs pull the struggling reptile inside, and the gargoyle's eyes glow red. The gargoyle's arms start to move.
Reptile.
It transforms into the warrior reptile and kicks Lu through a wall. Reptile is dressed in a dark green tunic with a metal mask covering his mouth. He leaps through the wall into a derelict building and takes Lu on in a fight. Reptile hurls Lu to the floor. Reptile kicks Lu in the stomach, then somersaults towards him. But Lu lashes out with his foot and sends Reptile flying. Reptile locks Lu's arm and flips him over. Lu twists round and kicks at Reptile's ankles, knocking him to the floor. Reptile roundhouse kicks Lu, but Lu swings on a rotating piece of stone and knocks Reptile back. Lu jumps and clamps his thighs around Reptile's neck. He leans back and flips Reptile into the air. Reptile does a flying kick and sends Lu crashing into some shelves. Now Reptile leaps through the air, but Lu catches him and throws him down. Lu gets the upper hand, kicking and beating an exhausted Reptile. He sees Reptile crumple to the floor. Lu launches into the air and kicks repeatedly with both feet at Reptile's chest. Reptile is sent spinning over and over till he falls to the ground, a stone gargoyle once again. His innards, a pile of worms and maggots, spills onto the floor. Reptile tries to break free of the gargoyle's rib cage.
Oh no, you don't.
Lu stamps on Reptile's head.
Well done.
It's Princess Kitana in her black leather fighting costume.
You're finally learning, Liu Kang.
Kitana.
Come with me.
They walk past some ruined buildings.
What happened here?
The same thing that will happen to your world, unless you prevent it. My father was the rightful ruler of Outworld. Then his best warriors lost 10 mortal combats, and the Emperor entered the realm, killed my parents, and adopted me to lay claim to the throne. It was beautiful once, before Shang Tsung engineered its destruction.
How can I possibly stop this from happening in my world?
If I did not believe in you, Liu Kang, I would not have helped you. In the Black Tower, you will face three challenges. You must face your enemy, you must face yourself, and you must face your worst fear.
The Great Tower rises up from the shattered city on Outworld. A precarious stone bridge leads to its outer wall. In a hall inside, Sonya is tied between two stone columns. The large doors swing open, and a procession of hooded figures bearing torches comes into the room. They descend from the upper level of the chamber and form a circle round the floor. Shang Tsung comes in behind them.
I will not fight you, Shang Tsung. I'm not playing your game.
Sonya. My sweet Sonya, there is no one else. If you don't fight, the realm of Earth will forfeit the tournament.
And its portals will open to our great emperor.
You're lying. My friends will come for me.
Hoping against hope. Such an endearing human trait. I'm touched. Really. One last chance, Sonya. Fight me in mortal combat.
Go to hell.
Take her away. The Emperor will be overjoyed.
My friends will come.
One of the circle pulls back his hood. It's Johnny.
They're already here.
Lou and Kitana are with him.
Seize them!
Stay where you are!
Would you dare interfere with the tournament and betray our Emperor? In his great wisdom, he knows that mortal combat cannot be won by treachery.
How dare you speak to me of treachery?
Your ignorance will lose for all time the keys to the realm of Earth.
Very well.
Johnny Cage!
I challenge you.
No! You'll fight me.
Johnny frees Sonya, and they stand aside as Liu pulls off his robe.
I am Liu Kang, descendant of Kung Lao. I challenge you to mortal combat. Do you accept or yield?
I accept. Leave us!
The hooded figures file out of the chamber.
I will take care of this impudent mortal myself.
Shang Tsung slips his cloak from his shoulders and hurls it across the room. Johnny looks at the short leather dress Sonya's wearing.
Nice dress.
Liu and Shang Tsung salute each other by pressing a fist into the palm of their hand. Shang Tsung flips Liu over and onto the floor, but Liu strikes back with a heavy punch that knocks Shang Tsung to the ground. Shang Tsung staggers to his feet. He touches his lips and looks at the blood on his fingers. Shang Tsung spits on the floor.
You fool!
Shang Tsung slowly raises his arms.
What's that sound?
The source of all Shang Tsung's power. The souls of 1,000 dead warriors.
A tornado of white mist is sucked into a carving of the Mortal Kombat insignia on the floor.
Face your enemy.
Liu watches anxiously as steam rises from the insignias all around him. Suddenly, warriors burst from each one in a shower of stone and rubble. One carries vicious-looking knives, another is bald with bulging muscles, a third dressed like a samurai. One figure twirls a club in his hands. In all, there are about a dozen of them. Liu is completely surrounded. The bald warrior attacks first. Liu kicks him to the ground, but now the others move forward. He avoids the samurai and another sword bearer and punches them in the face. Now the man with a club attacks. Liu fights well, beating off each wave of attacks. The samurai lunges again, and Liu leaps backwards over his head. Liu roundhouse kicks the samurai to the floor, the last of the opponents to fall. Liu steps alone into the center of the ring.
Is that all you've got, sorcerer?
Liu Kang!
I can see into your soul. You will die.
Shang Tsung stands on the upper level. Kitana looks over at Liu.
Face yourself.
You can look into my soul, but you don't own it.
Liu runs up the steps to the upper level of the chamber.
Face your worst fear.
I'm not afraid of my destiny. Face me!
But when Shang Tsung turns round, he's transformed into Liu's brother, Chang.
Liu!
Chang approaches Liu.
Chang? It can't be you. Raiden sent me to help you.
You're not really Chang.
Remember when our parents died? And you promised that you would always take care of me?
Liu nods, blinking.
I remember.
Now it's my turn to take care of you, brother.
Black steel spikes rise up from the floor of the fight ring.
Liu, come with me. Forgive you for letting me die. No. It wasn't my fault.
Chang puts his hand on Liu's shoulder.
No!
Liu pushes him away.
Chang chose his own path. Every man is responsible for his own destiny. Shang Tsung killed my brother!
Chang changes into Shang Tsung.
Oh my!
They fight on a ledge overlooking the floor covered in spikes. Shang Tsung beats Liu to the floor again and again. He elbows Liu in the neck, then grabs the young man's hair and wrenches his head back.
The chosen one.
Shang Tsung walks away, but Liu gets to his feet. Shang Tsung turns, and Liu walks calmly towards him.
The chosen one.
Shang Tsung swings at him, but Liu catches his arm and holds it in an iron grip.
You hear your slave, sorcerer.
Spirit forms fly from Shang Tsung's head.
You have lost your power over them. They have risen up against you. Freedom!
They are mine. Forever!
Liu punches him, but Shang Tsung lurches back into battle. Shang Tsung is beaten back again.
All those souls and you still don't have one of your own. I pity you, sorcerer.
Save your pity for the weak.
Surrender, it's over.
Shang Tsung lunges at Liu, but Liu delivers a brutal punch to the stomach. The two men square up to each other. Shang Tsung runs forward, but Liu delivers a series of crippling blows. Shang Tsung is forced backwards onto the ledge. A burst of red light flies from Liu's fingertips as he pushes Shang Tsung over the edge. The sorcerer is impaled on the spikes.
Flawless victory.
Shang Tsung's body rots, turns into a skeleton, and explodes in a burst of white light. The light forms into a column that spreads across the floor of the chamber and reaches up into the sky beyond the tower. Liu sees forms swirling within the light. People fly past him, their arms outstretched. Among them is his brother Chang. Chang's spirit form steps from the light and approaches Liu.
I knew you'd come. Chan.
Liu holds out his hand, and they interlock their fingers.
One day, we will be reunited. But until then, my spirit will always be with you. Go in peace, my brother.
Chang steps back into the column of light, and his body swirls upwards with the others. The beam of light projects into the sky from the roof of the tower. It fades away, and Liu stands smiling in the chamber below. He sees Kitana, Johnny, and Sonya below him.
Let's go home.
A flock of children carrying blue and white banners runs towards the Temple of Light. Liu, Kitana, Johnny, and Sonya follow them to where Raiden is standing with a welcoming smile. Liu and Kitana laugh together while Johnny holds Sonya close.
I've been waiting for you. What took you so long?
I guess you knew it would end this way.
Didn't have a clue.
You humans are so unpredictable. I've got to tell you something. You guys did great.
Lightning strikes the temple.
What is it?
The Emperor.
The spire of the temple blows apart, revealing a scaly horned giant.
You weak, pathetic fools! I've come for your souls!
I don't think so.
Audio description by ITFC.
Flawless victory.